All right. Well, it's great to be with you again. For those of you that may was here this morning for Sunday school, I'm Tim. My wife, Jennifer. Then we have our daughter, Layla. Then we have our son, Jason. He's not with us this morning. He's on staff there at Pensacola Christian College. He graduated last May. He works in the IT department. But we're the Wall family, and we were church planters in Washington State for 19 years. And in September 2004, we turned the work over to a new pastor, his wife. And now that we travel, we work and help church planters throughout the Northwest USA, because I'm the Northwest USA field director, and so do pray for us as we minister out west, that we just want to be a help and encouragement to these church planters. That's our ministry. Also, recruitment. We want to encourage others to go out west and just also strengthen the churches that are out west, also that fill in for them, helping them with Vacation Bible School, preach revival, that in mission conferences, that so churches without pastors out west too. There's several that I know of that are needing pastors, and also want to fill in for those churches that are without pastors temporarily until they get a pastor. So do pray for us as we work and help these churches out west, because truly that the hour is late, need is great, and we need that to be faithful in doing what God has called us to do, just like we talk about in the Great Commission, warning for Sunday school, go ye to all the world, preach the gospel to every creature, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, in all Judea, in Samaria, to the uttermost part of the earth. This is our heart's desire, is to reach the world with the gospel. Amen. This is Christ, why Christ came. He came to the world to seek and save that which was lost. Amen. I'm glad that I'm saved. I'm glad that I know Christ is my Savior. And I just want to see other people get saved. Amen. And we do that how? By being filled with the Spirit of God. We talked about that this morning. And being God's power upon our lives. That we, as God's people, God chose us to use us. Amen. To go to every place and preach the gospel. And so if you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Philippians. The book of Philippians this morning, Philippians chapter number 1, what we'll be looking at for the message today, and about striving together for the faith of the gospel. That's the title of the message. I want to focus on verse number 27 here, but we will look at other passages too throughout the Word of God. Also focus on this book and what Paul says to this church. The book of Philippians was written to a local church. I believe what God is doing through the local church. Amen. We see that in the New Testament that Paul and Barnabas went about to establish local churches. We see the epistles, the book of Romans, 1 Corinthians, so on and so forth. The book of Philippians written to local churches, church of Philippi. So that we see that this church was a church of Macedonia, was a region, was the chief city of that part, and that this city that these people got saved. Acts chapter 16 records the founding of this church, Paul and Silas. On Paul's second missionary journey, he goes to several cities, and one of the cities that he goes to is the city of Philippi. We see souls were saved, that the Philippian jailer, you know, they're put in prison. Then we had the salvation of him and his house. Others are saved before that, and then after that. And so Paul, he writes this book. We call it a prison epistle because he wrote it while under house arrest. He writes this, really, this prayer letter to this church, to thank the church because they gave to him a monetary gift. And he writes and thanks them and encourages these believers. This is what I want to do today. I wanted to say thank you. Appreciate this opportunity that we have to come and to share that our burden about the Western U.S. And the need for church players. And then also just want to be a help encouragement to you. It's really all about doing our part in the work of the ministry. The Bible says that we are laborers together with God, that we are God's workmen, that we're to be involved in God's work, and we are to be faithful in doing that, and that we are to reach people with the gospel and to see souls saved. And I believe that the way that we do that is by working together, or by striving together for the faith of the gospel. If you have your Bibles, let's look here at verse number 27. If you are able to, let's stand for the reverence of the reading of the Word of God. If you're able to, Philippians 1, verse number 27 would be our text this morning. Let's notice what the Bible says here in verse 27. Says this: only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. Let's pray together. Our Father, we're just so grateful, so thankful for this time that we have to come and to share our heart, our burden about the Northwest USA. We pray, Father, that you just bless us this morning as we come. I pray that each of us will purpose our hearts about striving together, that we'd be determined to do your work and be a part of that. I pray that you just bless this church here, the old Mount Zion Baptist Church. We pray for Pastor Carroll. We pray that you just bless and use him as the shepherds of the flock. We pray that you bless me as I bring forth the message. Give me power. Give me unction from on high. And I pray that we not only be hearers, but doers of your word. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Notice here that in verse 27, the latter part of the verse says this: striving together for the faith of the gospel. This is what we have been called to do as believers in Christ, about striving together. Someone said this, that teamwork makes the dream work. Someone else said that there's no I in team. We are to be working together. It's not about to what what the pastor can do, but it's all about us doing our part in the work of the ministry. And so that we need one another. When we read and study the New Testament, we see that about working together, Paul and Silas, Paul and Barnabas, Paul always were working with someone else. When he writes the book of Romans, chapter 16, he lists over 30 people by name. We're to be striving together for the faith of the gospel. How can we do that? How can we be effective witnesses for Christ? Well, we see from our test, I want to look at four things on how we can be effective witnesses. How can we be effective to fulfill the Great Commission? We see here, verse number 27, this. Notice what the Bible says. It says, only. The word only conveys the idea of this is the one essential thing. This is what we need to be doing. This is, should be our focus. This morning for Sunday school, we're talking about great concern should be the Great Commission. Amen. And this was Paul's concern. This is why Paul was in prison. But you know what? It didn't matter to Paul. You know, that Paul, he said, for me to live is Christ and die is gain. Verse 21, back at verse 13, he says that what has happened to him have fallen out, whether to the furtherance of the gospel. You know, it's about us striving together for what? For the faith of the gospel, about getting the gospel message out. And so he says here in our text this morning, Philippians 1 and verse 27, only let your conversation. Now, when we use the word conversation, we use it for our talk, what we say. But here, the idea is not just what we say, but really the idea is about how we live our lives. That the word conversation has the idea of to live as a citizen. That the Philippians, that they were part of the Roman colony. That there was a Roman colony, and that they were Roman citizens. And that because they were Roman citizens, they had to live a certain way. In fact, in Acts 16, when this church was started, that when people started getting saved, this lady that was possessed with the spirit of divination, she is saved, and that her masters are upset because of this, and they bring Paul and Silas to the magistrates, to the leaders of that city. And they accused Paul and Silas and said that these Jews here, that they are silly trouble our city. They're teaching customs that are not lawful for us to receive, neither to do, because we're Romans. That is what they tell the people. And so because of this, that's why they put in prison. so they have to conduct themselves in a certain way. So Paul, he uses this and says this, let your conversation or your conduct as a citizen be as it becometh. The word becometh means become worthy of, or the weight of worth. So think about this. Think about a scale, or a timing scale. You know, on this side, you have your conduct, your conversation, your life, your manner of living, how you live your lives. And what he says is this, let your conduct, your conversation, become worthy or weigh as much as what? He goes on and says, what is it? Our conversation should weigh as much as becometh the gospel of Christ. So what he's saying is this, that we should live our lives just like we say we believe. Amen? In other words, what we say, we practice what we preach, or we should. Amen? That we are to live as we say we believe. Amen? And so this is what he's saying here, that our conversation, our conduct, should weigh as much as the gospel. And that is convicting to me, because unfortunately sometimes we don't, amen? We don't live that in accordance to the word of God, but this is what God requires of us. If we're going to be that light for Christ, if we're going to be that witness for Christ, we have to live a holy life, amen? That the Bible says this in chapter 2, look at chapter 2, that he expounds upon this thought of being holy, and he says this in chapter 2, verse number 12. Look at what the Bible says. He says, wherefore, my beloved, as you've always obeyed, not my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. He says this, that we should work out our salvation. Now, we understand that we are saved by grace through faith, plus not minus nothing else. It's not what we have done, but or we can do, but it's because of Christ, what he did for us upon the cross of Calvary is how we are saved. We put our faith and trust in him. For by grace are we saved through faith, and that not of ourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. We are saying that it's not what we have done, but what Christ did for us. So he's not saying here that we are saved by works, but we are saved to work. Good works do not produce salvation, but salvation produces good works. In order to be saved, we work because we are saved by the grace of God. That faith is the root of salvation, but works is the fruit of salvation. Jesus says, by their fruits ye shall know them. And so we are to live our lives, and we are to be a holy lives. Notice it says this, work out your soul salvation with fear and trembling. And then chapter 2, verse 13 says, but it says this, for as God worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. See, the thing is this, we can only work out because God does the work in. He does that work in. And it's by whom? We talked about that this morning in Sunday school. It's by the Spirit of God. But you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost come upon you. The Holy Spirit of God, he is the one that does that work in us. And what is this work? This work is what we call sanctification. Sanctification. We're to live a sanctified, holy life. The Bible says, be holy, for I am holy. Look at chapter 2, verse 15. Look at verse 15. It says this, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked perverse nation, among who shine as lights in the world. If we want to be that light for Christ, we are to live that blameless and harmless life. We are to be that light. Amen? You think about these lights. That light is able to get out. In order to do so, that little life has to be cleaned. Amen? That if it's dirty, that light won't be able to get out. Same way with our lives. If our lives are dirty, that light won't be able to get out. And we have to live that holy life. You know, that Sanctification is a big part of evangelization. If we want to evangelize, to evangelize, to reach people with the gospel. The Bible says this in the high priestly prayer of Christ. He says in John 17, verse 17, he says, sanctify them through the truth. These that thy word is truth. The word of God is the truth. Amen. It says this, as thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I sent them into the world. Notice the connection between our sanctification and what God has called us to do. He has sent us to what? To evangelize, right? As the Father sent him, so we have been sent, right? Bible said that we are ambassadors for Christ. We have been sent on a mission. We're called to be, not just me, but all of us, we're called to be missionaries. Missionary is someone that's called to be on a mission. We are sent on a mission. I talk about in Sunday school, the mission of the church is missions. In order for us to be effective in our evangelism, we must be living a sanctified life. So the first thing is this, if in our text, back in our text of Philippians 1, verse 27, it says only, this should be the main thing, only this is the essential thing, only, he says this, only let your conversation, your conduct be as it becometh the gospel of Christ. We're called to be citizens of heaven. In fact, in chapter 3, verse number 20 of Philippians, he says, for our conversation is in heaven. We are heavenly citizens. And so because we're heavenly citizens, we should live a heavenly life. We should have that heavenly conduct in order to be that light for Christ. Amen? And then we see back in our text, look back in chapter 1, verse 27. He goes on and says this. So first of all, our sanctification. Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent. Number two, I mean, here are your affairs that ye what? Stand fast. Stand fast. The second thing concerning our stand. First, our sanctification. Then secondly, our stand. We are to take a stand. That some people have the idea if we live for Christ, that if we live that sanctified life, if we serve him, that things must go smoothly. That we should not have any troubles. We should not have any problems. People say that, I have people say, well, I read my Bible, I pray, I go to church, I give, I do these things. Why am I experiencing this? Why do I have these problems in my life? Well, the thing is this, God never promised that we're going to be exempt from problems. In fact, Jesus said this, in the world ye shall have tribulation. The Bible says, man that's born of woman is a few days and full of trouble, right? That we're going to have problems. We're going to have conflict in our lives. And especially, listen, the thing is this, especially when we are trying to do something for God, especially when you are serving him, there's going to be opposition in the work of God. The Bible says this, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. It's hard. And this is our second thing, our stand. But we are to take that stand. We are to be soldiers for Christ. Someone said that the Christian life is not a playground. It is a battleground. There's going to be a battle. We have an enemy. Satan, the Bible says that he walks about seeking who he may devour, just like a roaring lion. We're going to face conflict. We're going to face opposition. We're going to face an enemy. This is why in the book of Ephesians chapter 6, the Bible says this, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Amen. That power comes from him. Amen. It's all about the Holy Spirit working our lives. He is the one that sanctifies us. Knowing that it's only by his power can we take that stand. Amen. He says, put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. How can we do that? It's by his power. Can we stand against the wiles of the devil? He's out to get us, but we are to take that stand. We are to put on the whole armor of God, that belt of truth, that breastplate of righteousness, the shield of faith, the helm of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. We're to put this on. We must understand that the Christian life, that it's going to be a fight. You know, Paul, he said this, I have fought a good fight. That it's going to be a fight. It's going to be a struggle. You know, we are at war. Think about that. We are at war. And the Bible says this, that the weapons of all warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God, but to pull down our strongholds. We're going to face opposition. In fact, look at the text here. In Philippians 1, in verse number 28, it says this. It says, and nothing terrified by your adversaries. Adversaries. We'll face adversaries in the work of God. You just ask Nehemiah. Nehemiah, he faced conflict when he was trying to build the walls there of Jerusalem. You know, Sanballat and Tobiah came against him tried to stop, hindered the work of God. Yet, Nehemiah took that stand. The Bible says this in chapter 4, it says that they wrought the work with one hand, or they had a building tool in one hand, and then it says that they had a weapon in the other hand. You know, that's what it takes. When we're building for God, when there's building, there's going to be a battle. There's building, there's going to be a battle. Jesus said this, I will build my church. That's building. Then he says that the gates of hell should not prevail against it. There's going to be a battle. Now, we'll face conflict. We'll face things in the work of God. We'll face persecution. Paul, he said this, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. We'll face persecution in the work of God. But Philippians, the Bible says in Philippians 4, verse 1, it says this, therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved, and long for my joy and crown, do this. So stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. We're called to take that stand. You know, this is the military term that Paul is using here. Stand fast, stand firm, hold your ground. Right? That truly, the battle is Lord, as David said. But yet, God has called us to fight the good fight of faith, to be strong, Lord, to put on that whole armor of God, when there's building, there will be a battle that's going to be taking place in the work of God. But I want to encourage you to take that stand. Amen. To take that stand for the cause of Christ, because as David says, there's not a cause, so there is a cause. Amen. There's a work to be done for him. Amen. Then it says this, number three. So we're concerning our sanctification. Number two, our stand. And then concerning our spirit. Look at the text. Philippians 1, verse 27 says this, that ye stand fast, how? In one spirit. In one spirit. Of course, to speak about the one spirit is referring to that harmony, that unity. In chapter 2, look at verse 2. Look at chapter 2, verse 2. He says this. He expounds upon this subject and says, fulfill ye my joy that ye be like-minded, having the same love, be of one accord of one mind. You know, God wants us to be unified. God wants us to have harmony in the church. You know, I see today so much division. And in our churches today, and this is not of God. You know, God is not a divider. Amen. That God wants to be unified. Now, I do believe in separation from the sin, from the evil that's in the world. But God wants His people to be united. The Bible says this: how good and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. And so he said, how can we do this? By being like-minded, one accord, one mind. But notice this, look at chapter 2, verse 3. Notice that he mentions two things that will destroy unity in the house of God. Remember, this was written to a church. He says, let nothing be done through what? Two things, strife, and then he says, number two, or vainglory. Strife and vainglory, those two things will destroy harmony, unity in the church. Strife is contention, a conflict. Then vainglory is that empty glory, or about glorifying oneself. The Bible said, but he that glorifies him, glory in the Lord. That we're not to have that Diotrephes philosophy. Third John talked about Diotrephes, that he loved to have the preeminence. But who is to have the preeminence in the church? Is Christ. Amen. And then we see here, he mentions two things that will keep that harmony. Notice he says in Philippians 2, verse 3, the latter part of the verse says this, but in lowness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. How can we have harmony? I'll tell you how, by putting others first. Then, number 4, look at verse 4, it says, look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. How can we have harmony? How can we have unity? By putting the others first, by thinking about others and putting their needs. First, and this is, look, I mean, you know, it's not but just about me, myself and I. You know, the people that have met, that are most miserable. I talk about believers in Christ. They're saved, yet they're miserable. They are cantankerous. Those people only think about themselves. They're wrapped up in all about me. It's all about me. But those believers that are have the joy of the Lord, those that are happy are those believers that think about others. Amen? And the greatest example of this is whom? Notice verse 5 says this, let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. Then we have his great humility. Christ, even though he's God, and we won't take time to read there, but even though he's God, that he took upon himself the form of a servant. Christ came a servant. Amen. He went to the cross there for you and for I. The key to harmony is humility. Humility. That God hates pride. The Bible says only by pride cometh contention. You will have conflict, contention because of pride. When you get away with pride, take the example of Christ. What kind of mindset once we have to have harmony and unity is the mind of Christ and the mind of humility that will keep the harmony, the unity amongst the people of God. Amen? And then we see the final thing is this, concerning our sanctification, concerning our stand, our spirit. Then number 4, back on our text, it says this, that in one spirit, with one mind, what do we do? What are we doing? Striving together for the faith of the gospel. You know, this should be what we are to be doing, about working together, striving together in order to win souls for Christ. Amen? That's the idea. Just like the idea is, as you think about an athletic team, just like a team, a sports team, whether it's football or basketball or baseball, whatever sport you like, that works together in order to win a game. We as the team that's for God, that we are to be working together, striving together in order to win souls for Christ. And as I said before, we see this with Paul. You know, Paul and Barnabas, Paul and Silas. That Paul, he was always working with someone else, working together. That synergy. You know, we can do more when we work together than we can do separately, just do our part in the work of God. You know, that the Bible says this, that iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpens the countenance of his friends. You know, one person cannot do it themselves. You know, I am an independent Baptist, but I'm also an interdependent Baptist. We need one another. Amen? Each one of you are a central part here at the church. Every single one of you. Now, the Bible says that the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of thee. We need one another. The Bible says even those things, that parts that seem more feeble, are necessary. Every one of you are necessary in the work of God. It takes us all to our part, whether it's cleaning the church, whether it's fixing something around the church, or mowing the yard, or whatever it is, you have a part here at the church. And what you need to do is to do your part. and be faithful in doing that, faithful in doing the work of God, whatever God has called you to do, and be a faithful witness for Christ, then God, I think God will bless in great and mighty ways here. Amen? And that, and we just want to do the, what God has called us to do. That should be our desire, to do God's will for our lives, and do our part, working together, striving together for what? For the faith of the gospel. The gospel, the good news. There's a lot of bad news, but the good news is that what? Jesus saves. Jesus saves. And this is the message that is to be proclaimed here and around the world. Amen? And then maybe we do our part. Amen? And listen, if you don't know Christ as Savior, today is the day. The Bible says now is the same time. Now is a day of salvation. Amen. Pastor, I want you to come and then close us out as you see fit. But let's pray together. Father, we're just so grateful, so thankful for this time that we have to come to share our burden, to preach and teach your word. We pray, Father, that we will be truly striving together for the faith of the gospel. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.